that we got on our buses and how God really just blessed that time, you know. And I remember going home that Saturday and seeing some of the kids that are not here. They haven't been here ever since. Some of the young girls, some families, and it just moved me with so much compassion, because I know what those kids are going through. Those kids are hurting so much. And Pastor asked me to that night, Pastor asked me, well, if I would be able to speak, will I be willing to speak? He told me, I know that you don't like speaking, I know that you wasn't called to preach, but I just want you to be a blessing to the people. And I didn't tell him yes right away, but in my heart, I know that that's what I wanted to do, because that's what I was asking God to do. I truly love our pastor. I believe that he's a man that doesn't only talk the talk, he walks the walk. He reminds me a lot of my pastor back home, John Morgan, a man that doesn't compromise on God's word, and a man that's that loves people. And I love people, you know, and he's an encourager to me. He called me today to encourage me, to let me know that he was praying for me. And I just like the people that call me. Brother Joseph called me and encouraged me. Others encouraged me by telling me you'll be all right. And I'm nervous, but you know I'm gonna be all right, because I know for sure this is where God wants me. And I believe that God is gonna use this time and for his glory. It's not for me, it's for him. And I'm not like Brother Bob that feels comfortable up here, but I wanna feel comfortable one day. I really want God to use me. I mean, I started out with the peewee kids, you know, and now I'm moving up a little, you know, but I was scared there. And I'm a little more scared of here, but like I said, I know that God's gonna use me. And God just wants a willing vessel, and that's what I wanna be. I wanna be a vessel that God can use. All right, tonight I'm gonna talk to you about, I got this out of order, man. It's not really in no order, but about the choices that we make will make a difference, you know? I believe that choices that we make are gonna take us closer to God, or it's gonna bring us further away from him, you know? And I just like to hit on a few areas today, like on prayer. But let me just pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you so much for this opportunity. Lord God, I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you just help me to say exactly what you would want me to say. I pray that you bless this night, Lord God, and also be with our pastor, Lord God. I pray that you bless him, Lord God, wherever he might be, in church or with his family, Lord God, just bless him in a mighty way, and I pray that you bring him back safely. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, that night, I think about the night after Vacation Bible School and a message that Pastor preached to us on 1 Chronicles 4:9-10. And I'm going to speak on that passage for a little while, you know, because I'm going to drink water. Because that really moved me that night. That passage right there really spoke to my heart. And I know Pastor was challenging us to get a hold of this prayer, Jabez's prayer, you know. And man, I looked it over so many times, and it was a prayer that actually spoke to me. And I believe that we all should get a hold of this, you know. And we're all going to have problems in our life. We're going to go through sorrows. And as I read this passage here in 1 Chronicles 4:9, it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. I don't know what Pastor said about that, but I don't know what the situation was there with his mom and all that, what she was going through. But I think about our bus kids and all that, and the sorrow that they go through, right? And I think about this situation here. This man, Jabez, was a guy that was more honorable than his brothers. He stood out. You know, he did things a little different. You know, in spite of his situation in his home, you know, I don't know what happened there, you know, but it says that she bear him out of sorrow, you know. Maybe the husband wasn't in the home anymore. Maybe the husband left. Or maybe she got word that she has cancer and she's gonna die. I don't know, but the Bible says that it was sorrow in that home. That home wasn't a healthy home. It was a home where it was issues there, you know. And I remember my pastor saying, when you're going through a tough time in your life, it's not a time to quit. It's a time to get closer to the Lord. And I think about this passage here, sorrow. I was looking at sorrow, and I was thinking about the many people in here that actually are going through a hard time in their life and going through difficulties with their children, maybe with their spouse. You know, I think about my brother a lot. I think about losing him a little over 2 months ago. And I remember seeing my brother in the coffin, thank you, seeing my brother in the coffin for the last time. And I remember kneeling down and just praying and promising my brother that I'd try to do more for the Lord. You know, I just wanted to do more for God. You know, I don't want to see any more people like that, that lives is wasted, you know? I see these little kids and I see my brother, I see myself. You know, these kids don't have hope. You know, they don't have anything. They go home to empty broken lives. And I remember seeing my brother there and just praying. And I knew that he's in heaven. Without a doubt, my brother's in heaven. I remember just going out when I heard the news and listening to the radio. And as I listened to the radio, this song came on. If You Could See Me Now. I don't know how the words go, but I know it says, if you could see me now, I'm walking streets of gold. And it goes on, if you could see me now, it says, you will never want me to leave this place if you could only see me now. And it talks about the trials and that he no longer has to worry about that, my brother. You know, my brother, I got letters in my drawer when he was incarcerated, how he wanted to give his life to the Lord and he wanted to live for God. And my brother never got the victory there. My brother had a tough life. He held on to sorrow. He held on to pain. And a lot of us do. And we never accomplish anything for the Lord. We just hold on to that bad feeling that comes to all of us. We all go through hard times. We all go through the sorrowness, the sadness, the anguish that just tears us up, you know? But I see something about Jabez that was different. You know, he, in spite of him going through all that, you know, his prayer, the next chapter, 2 Chronicles 4:10, you see his prayer. He goes, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that wish, that which he requested. You know, Jabez was a guy that got a hold of God, you know? He's a guy, in spite of the situation that he went to, he didn't allow it to dictate the outcome of his life, you know? He did something about it, and he prayed, and he got a hold of the God of the Bible, and he said, look, God, I just want you to use me. That's one of my titles. The choices that we make will make a difference, you know? His choice made, he got a hold of God, and we need to get a hold of God. When we're going through tough times, we need to get a hold of God. You know why? Because he wants to hear from us. He knows what we're going through. He knows every bit of our problems, every bit of our hurt. He knows, but he wants to hear from us. And Jabez did that. Not only that, he asked God to use him to be a blessing, to be a blessing in his life. And we need to ask God to do that in our lives. You know, I believe that God wants to do something so big in this church. I really do, with all my heart. I believe that God has special plans for this church. And we have a pastor that truly believes it, and he prays it, and he lives it. And you know what? And John 14:14 right here is a promise from God that he promises that he will answer our prayers if we just call upon him, right? John 14:14 says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. God's just waiting for a reason to do something. But you know what? I believe that this church is just about to have something big happening. But we need to get a hold of God. Each and every one of us need to get a hold of God. Not only that, I look at this prayer, and not only he asks God to use him, but man, he asks God to protect them from evil. You know, we need to pray that every day. Not only for ourselves to be not tempted, but for our children, you know, for our loved ones. You know, because the Bible's so clear that in 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible's clear. It tells you, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeking about walking about seeking who he may devour. He's not talking about your wife or your husband or your friend next to you. He's talking about the devil, a real predator, someone that's out there that doesn't, he's not gonna come over there and lick your toes, you know? He's gonna come over there and he wants to get a hold of that home and he wants to rip it apart and he wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy everything. He wants to destroy these young teenagers in here before they even get out there to get a hold of God's blessing. He wants to destroy that. We need to pray. You know, I believe that prayer is so important. You know, I'm here today because somebody prayed for me, and that was my family. And I don't know about my mom's. My mom's never was in my life, but I found out she's a Christian now. And I'm sure that even though she left me and I didn't have a mom and dad and all that, I believe that my mom actually prayed for me. I believe that with all my heart, you know? You know, I'm here because people pray for me. My kids pray for me. I think about the testimony of my pastor back home, how he used to say that his grandma used to pray for him to be a preacher. And God just wants to hear from you. He wants to answer your prayers. I hear Pastor Bloom, how his grandmother prayed for him. See, prayer goes a long ways, man. We need to pray. We need to pray more. I don't know how your prayer life is, but I just know one thing, that prayer is important, you know? I remember hearing, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the show by the doctors. It was a show that I used to watch, and I remember the doctor, a black man, and his mother, or his grandmother, she was laying by the bedside, and she was dying, and she said something to him that always stood out. I'll never forget it. She said, life is God's gift to us. What we do with it is our gift back to him. You know, God gives us a life, and it's not always going to go the way we want it to go, but you know what? He will help us along the way, you know? It's a gift, man. We need to give it back. We need to give back to him. Why? Because he wants to use us. God didn't save any one of us to have us sit on a pew and soak everything up. He saved us for a purpose, all right? Let me just say one thing. I know fear can paralyze you. I know it does me. Fear is something, I never had confidence in a lot of things. I had confidence in sports, I had confidence, but when it came to speaking before anybody, I remember one time I had to speak in high school, and like 2 days before I was supposed to speak, I chickened out. I said, I ain't doing it. I never forget that, I didn't do it. You know, I said, I ain't going up there. I was paralyzed, you know? You know, fear, it can make you powerless and ineffective for the Lord. It can. If you're not careful, fear can keep you from doing what God wants you to do, all right? In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. All right, I think about that, you know? Fear is not from God. And many times I read that verse and I say, well, I'm going to just do it, and that fear just comes upon me again. And I just told myself the other day, I'm not going to let fear get in my way. I'm not going to let it stop me. Why? Because it's not from God. God gave me power to do his will, all right? And to love. You know, it's hard to love certain people out there, but you know, I believe that I'm a person that loves people because of God's grace, his love that he showed me many, many years ago, you know? And of a sound mind, you know, God gives you know, he gives you peace about a lot of things that go on. You know, fear is not from God. And in Isaiah 41:10, the Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. God is a personal God. God is not a God that's going to let you down. He's always going to be by you. Brother Ralph encouraged me. He said, hey, don't worry. God's going to be right behind you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to give you the right words. And I appreciate, man, like Brother Ralph that encouraged me and everybody else. You know, it says, I will strengthen thee. Yeah, I will help thee. Yeah, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Man, when God holds you, you don't have to worry about anything because God's not going to let you go. He's going to take care of you. See, when God says something, it's as good as done, you know? One of us might say something, but you know what? We might break a promise, we might forget, but God doesn't forget. God is always there, and God will always do what he says he's gonna do, all right? I think about fear paralyzing a person, and I remember again when my brother was in that coffin, and And I set up everything. I set up my daughter Angela to sing. She did such a beautiful job. And I set up my son, my son-in-law to preach a message, and my son. And I just wanted to remember my brother's life as, just remember the good times. You know, I didn't want to be hurt. And even though I was, I just wanted to remember the good times. And I remember this young lady that was my brother's girlfriend. Her name is Dina. And I spoke to her like twice, or maybe a few other times when I used to call my brother. My brother used to call me like every day. And I miss those calls. I don't get them anymore. But every day my brother would call me. A lot of times he'd be over at this girl's house. And I remember a week before my brother died, he was talking to me about Dina. And he said, man, this girl's getting so religious, man. She's always in church. And he started talking to her. I remember I said, you know, Raul, she really got it, man. She got saved, man. That's what it is. Jesus is a part of her life. And I was always praying that my brother will find somebody that will help him to walk closer to the Lord. And this lady was that lady. My brother wasn't ready, man. Even though I believe he was saved, and if he's not saved, you know what? That's on him, because we gave him many opportunities. I witnessed him. I was a testimony. I prayed for him. We was there. We showed him the way. So if he's not in heaven right now, it's not on us, because you make a choice. You know, each and every one of us. I don't know. It might be somebody in here tonight that's not saved. I don't know. But you have an opportunity to get saved. You have no reason why you should have to go to hell, a place where God didn't create for us. But I think about that lady, Dina, and I remember that day. She was there, and she came up to me, and she said, Jose, can I sing a song for your brother? And I looked at her, and I said, sure, you can sing a song for my brother. And then she walked up to me, and she said, look, I'm afraid. I don't think I can do this. She said, I'm just scared. I only sang one time before somebody. So I told her, it's okay. You don't have to do it if you don't want to. And then she came back and she looked at me and she said, Jose, I want to do it. I know that he's looking down on me from heaven. And I just want to sing this song for him, you know? She said, I want to sing to him. And then I remember her getting her little radio and her little cassette, and she went up there with a pastor that was there, and they sang. You know, it touched my heart, because that's the way we should feel about God. It shouldn't be anything that we should want to do for him. You know, we should want to do anything that he calls us to do, because he will equip us for it. All right? He will. And when I saw her, it just moved me with so much compassion. I said, man, you know, that's the way I should feel about my Lord. I should feel like that about him. I should just want to do it, even if I'm afraid. You know, fear can paralyze you, and it will, you know? So my first point right here is prayer. I don't know, how's your prayer life, you know? Prayer is something that draws us closer to God. It's almost like when you call somebody on speed dial, you know? It's easy to talk to that person. It should be the same way with God. You know, he wants to hear from us. He wants to hear everything that's going on in our life. And it's not like he needs to, because he already knows, but he just wants to hear. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is just talking to a friend, man. I love that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. When I first heard that song, I cried, because, man, I never realized what a friend I had in him, you know? The second thing I would like to talk about is, we're talking about choices, right? Like the choices that we make will make a difference. And like I said, life is a series of choices. Each day we make countless decisions that can bring us closer to God or draw us away from God. See, we make choices every day, decisions every day. And I believe that one of the decisions that we must make in our lives is to give it all to him, you know? Proverbs 3:5-6 is a verse that is, I just love the verse. And a lot of times when I lead someone to Christ, a lot of times I would take them to this verse to tell them that this is what they need to do, next to my main verse, which is Matthew 6:33. But Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. All right? You know, God doesn't want us to give him half of our heart. You know, he wants all of us. God is a jealous God, and he's not going to accept half of you. You know, I remember what led me to trust Christ, and this is the point that I make right now. The choices that we make will help us to get closer to Christ, to be able to have the right kind of walk with Him. You know, and Proverbs right here talks about giving it all to Him. And I remember when I was dealing with my wife going to church and my kids going to church, and our life wasn't really matching up. I remember as a young kid, man, that I always used to promise that if I was to have a wife and kids, that I would always be there for them, and I would love them, and I would take care of them. And around this time in my life, around 1989, I got saved in 1988, 89, but in around 89, I was going through a real hard time. My wife was in church probably over a year, maybe close to 2 years, I don't know. She was serving God. We was both drifting in two different directions. I was holding on to the things of the world, drugs, alcohol, gambling. That was my life. That's all I knew. I never knew what it was to truly be loved. I always wanted to be the right kind of father, but I just didn't know how to be that, you know? And I remember seeing a friend of mine by the name of Angel Rodriguez that was strung out on drugs. That was one of my drug partners. And I remember seeing him. And I said, Angel, come on, this is not you. You need help. And like 6 months later, this man came back with those blue eyes looking at me, and he started talking to me about Jesus. And I looked at him and I stopped him right away. I said, hold up, that's good. I'm glad you got help, you know, but I don't need to hear about that Jesus, man. I know him my own way. I was so bitter anyway. I mean, I knew God. I was an altar boy. I knew God. I thought I knew God, you know, but I really didn't know him. And God was dealing with my heart. He was dealing with me. And I didn't even know he was dealing with me through my wife, through my kids' prayer. And that's why I'm saying prayer is so important, because through all this, through all these trials and all that, my wife's still faithful. She prayed, and I remember fighting with her, man. She'll go to church, and I'll sneak a six-pack in the refrigerator, and I'll put it all the way in the back. And she'll go to church, and I'm looking for that six-pack. I'm ready to watch the second half of the game, and it's gone. She used to come home from church, and I used to get upset. Where's my beer? I threw it out. Why? She goes, you're not going to have alcohol in our house. And she's a strong woman. You know, I was, I didn't understand all that back then, but God gave me a great woman, a woman that completed me, that made me who I am. I think about, as I was dealing with all that pain and dealing with the alcohol, and I wasn't even happy in my job. I was so frustrated with life. And I remember, a bus captain by the name of Naredo Rodriguez, man, a beautiful lady. I love that lady with all my heart. And she used to come to my house pretty much every Saturday, like the way we go around to everybody's house on Saturdays. She'll never miss. And she'll go out with my wife the whole day, and they'll go on visitation and all that. They'll use the car. A lot of times I used to try to duck her. I really didn't want to see her, you know. I will cook for them. They'll have food. And I always cook for them, because I was like taking care of them, and I'll go to work. But I remember she talking to me, and one day she just happened to talk. She wanted to invite me to go bowling. And I was in bowling in two different leagues, but I really didn't want to go out with the church, because I didn't want nothing to do with the church. You know, I just didn't feel like I was going to really gel with those kind of people. And I remember she said, look, we're going bowling. I would like to invite you. I told her, no, I can't go. I'm going to be working that day. She goes, well, God works in mysterious ways. You know? And I was like, mm-hmm. I went to work that Monday, and I was in this job almost 12 years, and my boss called me, and I knew something didn't feel right, you know? And I was tight with him. I was real tight with my boss, you know? And he told me I was no longer gonna have a job there. And I was like, wow, what am I gonna tell my wife? You know? And all this time, God was working it all together for good, you know? I mean, I was lucky that I'm the type of guy that always saves. I have money put aside. I had a side job. I was a super for some buildings, so I have income. Plus, they gave me unemployment. My boss took care of me. And I remember going out there looking for a job, and everywhere I went, they told me, man, if you had a driver's license, we'll give you a job just like that. And I decided to go to driving school and work on getting a license so I can get a job. And I did that, you know. After 3 months, I got a license, and I'm going ahead of myself. I don't know how I'm going ahead of myself, but I am. But I remember getting saved. I got saved. Ms. Rodriguez, I ended up losing my job. And the following Saturday, Ms. Rodriguez came back to that door, and she looked at me, and she started talking to me about me going bowling with them. She goes, "Hey, you don't have a job." And I was like, "You're right." You know? So I really didn't have an excuse why I couldn't go bowling. And I was a decent bowler. Now, like Brother Steve over here, I bowled with him already. That guy's got some skills in bowling. But he's a great bowler, man. I was pretty good back then. And I haven't hit a 200 yet with him. But I used to hit several 200s back then. But my intentions was to go bowling with the church and to just show off, you know. I had a lot of pride. I was going to show these church people that I was the man, you know. But I went there to that bowling alley that day, and it was so weird because the people they just loved me so much. I didn't even know them. All these people told me how they praying for me and how they love my family, and I was like, wow, they don't even know me. That day we bowled, and we had a good time. I didn't even have a desire to have a beer. And I normally wake up having a beer every day. I just didn't want to have a beer. I got saved the day before. I mean, that day I went bowling, and the next day I went to church and I got baptized. You know, my pastor, he told us, as soon as you get saved, straightway get baptized. The first act of obedience. Don't wait, just do it. And I was the type of guy, I don't know how I got in that water, because I was too prideful. Let me tell you, it was the Holy Spirit. He moved me. I said, yeah. I mean, I didn't know. When this lady first asked me, "Are you 100% sure you have a home in heaven?" I was like, no. No one knows. And she took me to John 5:13, where it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know." And I said, wow, I didn't know that you could know, you know? And then she showed me what I needed to know. And I said, yeah, I want to do that. And I accepted Christ, and I got baptized. And let me tell you, man, it was the best decision I ever made. God is so good, and he has our lives already cut out for us, and he wants us to trust him with all our lives. He wants us to guide us. He wants to show us great things. You know, I think about that verse, Matthew 6:33. That's a verse that, when I first heard my pastor preach on it, it's a verse that got a hold of my heart, because I wanted the blessings that God had for me. You know, Matthew says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." My pastor used to tell us, you don't need to be chasing the things of this world. Why? Because God wants to give them to you. All you need to do is seek him. And I remember in Vacation Bible School that was one of the number one priority number one is to seek ye God. That was what it was all about, Matthew 6:33. And I believe that should be our number one priority, to seek God and to pray and get in contact with him. Not only when we pray in the church, it's great to have prayer meetings on Saturdays and Wednesdays, but you know what? God wants to hear from us more than that. He wants to hear from us a lot. Man, you can be taking a shower and talk to him, or riding your bike or driving, turn off that radio and just spend time with him. You know, God wants to hear from us, all right? So the first thing I said that will help us make a difference is prayer. Prayer would definitely help us to make a difference in not only our lives and the lives of the people around us and in our society. I know somebody was praying today about our nation and all that, and we need to pray for our nation. You know, we need to pray for our leaders. You know, instead of criticizing them and talking down, we need to pray for them. If you haven't prayed for them, you shouldn't be criticizing them. You know, that's not Christ-like. You need to pray for them and hope that God gets a hold of their hearts. And only God can take care of this nation, you know. I think about 2 Chronicles 7:14 when it says, "When my people which are called by my names shall humble themselves and pray." I know I got it in here somewhere. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. You know, God wants to heal this land more than we know it. But God wants men and ladies and teenagers and young people to get right with him. You know, he wants us to get right. And prayer is not only for the saved. I know that the first prayer that God hears is the sinner's prayer. God hears the sinner's prayer. That's the first prayer that he hears before we can become a child of his. But I believe that God hears the lost person's prayer also. I think about a family that was here a couple of weeks ago that Brother Lewis got to lead to Christ in. And I remember speaking to them that night, and they told us, you know what? We were just praying that God would send somebody out. We were just going through so much. And they were praying that God would just show them something. And here comes Lewis, and he just, the Holy Spirit led him right to those people. And they got to hear the word of God, and they got to get saved and baptized. See, prayer goes a long ways, not only for the lost, but the saved. You know, God wants to hear our prayers. And that, he created us for his fellowship, to walk with him, and he has something special for us. But we have to seek him, you know. The third thing I would like to talk to you about is service. This is big. My pastor always used to tell me that after you get saved and you get baptized, the next thing you need to do, you need to serve him. You need to start serving him with all your heart. All right? Don't just give him your heart, but serve him. You know, I remember when my pastor used to say, we need this done, we need that. Is there a volunteer for this? Is there a volunteer for that? Man, I used to raise my hand for everything. I wanted to be a bus driver. I remember going on that bus for the first time. I loved it. I was sitting in the back singing. I was so excited. And then they needed a bus driver. You know what? I wanted to be that bus driver. I wanted to be in that front seat singing with them, driving. And I got to do that. It was fun. I loved it. I love my bus. You know, I love my bus kids. But I volunteered for everything. I was on fire for Christ. I was assisting to a Sunday school. I was there. I was just helping out everywhere I can help out. I was so excited. And I saw God working, man. I saw God working in so many ways, man, in my life, man. You know, I actually ended up getting that license that I went out to get. It took me like 3 months to get that driver's license. And I remember one of these jobs that I wanted so bad, it was one I would have to be carrying a gun. My wife didn't want me to do that one. Another one was in a hospital that was really close to me. And I wanted that job so bad, and they called me. And I remember meeting with Mr. Chickery, the director of that department, and he told me that we have a position available, but it's just a part-time position. And I told him I'll take it. I just wanted to get my feet in there, and I knew that I just had faith that God would do the rest. And I remember meeting with him and leaving, and then going to human resources. And I was there, and I remember after going through the orientation and all that, they congratulated me on a full-time permanent job. They said, congratulations on your full-time permanent position. I had no idea what they were talking about because I was supposed to go there part-time. But I called my wife right away. I said, honey, they just congratulated me on a full-time permanent position here. And I had everything, benefits, you name it. I walked in there and I just was so blessed. It was God. God gave me that job, all right? When you serve God, you don't lose. You know, when you give God your time, God pays you back. You know, he gives you things that the world can't give you. You know, I think about the things that I used to go after. They don't match up to what God gives you, you know. I look at this verse right here, Matthew 9:37, it says, then say he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, I think about that. You know, I think about how someone went out their way to show love to me, to show the love of Christ. And I always think about Pastor, how he says we shouldn't be spreading the bad news, but we should be spreading the good news. And you know what? The harvest is, it's a lot of people out there that need to be reached. And they're not going to be reached by us sitting on these pews and going home and not getting involved. You know, something's going to happen in this church. It's going to happen if we all get involved, if we all get busy serving God, all right? My pastor back home, John Morgan, was a man with a lot of wisdom. And I remember he always used to say, he said this many times, Joy is not the same as happiness, although they may overlap. Happiness depends on circumstances. Joy depends on God. And he used to give an illustration of a brand new car. You buy a brand new car, and your baby that, you put it in your garage, you take it out there, you shop, and all of a sudden you come back and you got that first scratch on it. You know what circumstances? That joy is not there anymore, that happiness. But joy, that the Lord gives you something that lasts forever. You know, even when you're going through trials, like I've been going through lately with missing my brother, you know what? God gives me the strength. I got a young brother that's not dealing with this too good. And every night I'm so worried that I'm going to get a call from him that he's gone. You know, I just pray that God will do something in his life, maybe even just put him in prison. I'm worried about him. He's not dealing with it the right way. You know what? I remember my pastor said, if you ever lose your joy, remember where you once had it. I just remember that. And I remember I was on fire for the Lord. I was living for him. I was doing everything possible for him. And then trials came into my life, and I fell flat on my face. I was a new Christian. Things started happening in there, and I was just moving so fast, and those trials came into my life. And I started missing church. I started getting discouraged. The enemy's real, man. He's out there. He doesn't want you to have victory in your life. He wants to discourage you. He knows what you're capable of doing if you stay walking with the Lord. And I remember getting discouraged. And I remember having an argument with my wife and going fishing with my brother-in-law one night. And he's smoking cigarettes. And I told him, yo, let me get a cigarette. And he looked at me and he goes, what? I said, just give me a cigarette. And I smoked that one cigarette. I started smoking another cigarette. It wasn't long before I was drinking a beer, snorting coke, smoking weed, gambling. Man, I got so deep into sin so quick, man. I mean, it just hit me so hard. And I was so miserable, man. You know, it was different this time. It wasn't the same. It was a time when I used to be able to go out there and drink and hang out, and I wasn't feeling no convictions. This time was different, man. I was always looking over my shoulders. I didn't want people to see me living this kind of life because I was feeling dirty. And sin does make you feel dirty. You know, sin always, it never satisfies. You know, sin will always keep you coming back. I think about my brother and I think about his life. And if he would have known his life would have ended the way it ended, I'm sure he wouldn't have took that first drink and that first smoke and that first shot of heroin, you know? He wouldn't have did that. My brother died prematurely, you know? I think about this. I think about what my pastor used to say, man. Remember where you once had that joy. I remember one night that I lost so much money. I was drunk. I came home, I went to sleep, and God woke me up in the middle of the night just slapping me all over the place. And oh, I wanted to die. I just wanted to die. I didn't want to live no more. And this thought came to my mind. If you ever lose that joy, remember where you once had it. And I remember that Sunday morning I went to church. I don't know what the message was all about, but I remember coming to the front and taking care of business with the Lord. And I cried out and I said, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to live this life anymore. I love my family. I was ready to lose my family. I was ready to do something I promised I'd never do. I wanted to be there. I was ready to lose it all, throw it away, you know? And I didn't want that. And I just think about the story of the prodigal son, how the father just takes that son back and wraps his arms around him and throws a big party. And I was just thinking, that's the way God was with me that day. He just took this load off of me, and I just felt so, so relieved. I felt so much joy and so much peace in my life. You know, I think about when I came out here about 2 years ago to this day. I remember going out soul winning with my son-in-law, and I was so excited. I remember going over, I don't know, I think it was Morella's house, and she fed me really, really well. It was some good stuff, you know? And I remember meeting Brother Eddie for the first time, and I didn't know how God was going to use me in his life, but I started talking to him, not knowing that he was going through a tough time. My testimony was something that he needed to hear, and God put me in his path to share that testimony with him, and it was something that he was dealing with, similar to what I was dealing with. He was a young Christian, he got saved, something happened, he got a little bitter, and The devil swept him off his feet, and he started losing that same joy that I'm talking about. And he knows what I'm talking about, because he's been here, and I know he's much happier now, you know? And I remember speaking to him, and Eddie told me that he needs to get with me. He wants to talk to me again. And I remember actually coming back here to move to Pennsylvania. I couldn't wait to find Eddie. I was so excited, and it took me a couple of weeks to find him, but I finally got with him, and I got to talking with Eddie. And it was such a blessing, man. You know, service. I'm talking about serving. When we serve God, you know, if we're going to make a difference, we need to serve him with all of our hearts. And I came out here to do that. And I spoke to Eddie, and he was able to relate to me, and I was able to relate to him. And God used me in his life that day. I'm sure other people's, God used other people. I'm sure Pastor was there many times and other people, but God sent me there that day, and something clicked. And I remember Eddie walking in and kneeling somewhere around here that Sunday, one of those Sundays. I don't know if it was that same Sunday or the following Sunday. And I remember getting up and kneeling with him and praying. I don't know what I prayed about, but I was just so happy to see Eddie coming here, because that's the way I am. I like to see lives and homes being strengthened with God. You know, I think that we need God, man. Our homes are so weak right now. They're falling apart because God is not a part of our homes anymore. You know, God is so far from us. We'll come to church on Sundays, but the rest of the week we live like the world. And you know, a lot of people can't really see Christ through us. And I didn't want to be that type of Christian. I wanted to be a Christian that made a difference. I wanted to be a Christian that when I go somewhere, people know that I'm a Christian. You know, and when I met Eddie, it just moved me with so much compassion. I just came up here and I prayed. And I was so happy that he was here. And I think about Jesse. When I came over here, we was in prayer meeting, and the Lord led me to go to his house. And Jesse was discouraged. I wanted to pray with his family because he told me his family wasn't feeling well. And I just felt led that I needed to go to Jesse's house to pray with his family, and I did. But on the way there, Jesse was telling me how discouraged he was. And I think about Brother Steve, they're talking about discouragement and how we need to cheer up each other. We need to pray. We need to encourage each other. And I remember that day, Jesse started opening up to me and telling me how he's ready to quit, how people was making fun of him and giving him a hard time, and he just was tired of it, and he didn't want to do it anymore. And I remember telling Jesse, don't do it, man. Don't do it. God has something for you. I said, don't ever quit on God. I know what it is to quit on him, because I did it once, and it wasn't a good feeling. And I look at Jesse now, man, God is using him in a great way. We need to encourage each other. We need to pray for each other, you know, because prayer goes a long ways. I think about Brother Mark Abraham and another man that was going through a struggle last year and came into this year, and he brought it before the Lord and he prayed. We don't know what each person is going through in here. I'm sure that a lot of you guys are going through some struggles. You're going through some hard times. But I know that we have a God that can meet those needs if we just call upon him and trust him with all our hearts and live for him. And I know that he has a place for us to comfort us and to give us the peace that only he can give us, you know? And the final thing I want to talk to you about that will help us to make a difference is in the way of compassion, all right? I believe that we need to learn to be compassion towards everyone, man. I know when people walk in here, not everyone is someone you want to be friends with, but I think if we're going to make a difference, we got to put all those differences aside, you know? There's people out there that you might not want to talk to, but believe me, I know of many people that were out there in that street that you probably wouldn't talk to, and right now you'll see them up here preaching. God is using them in a great way. There's many people out there that were bums in the streets, and somebody took the time to give them the gospel, and God cleaned them up, and God is using them. I know in my church back home, we had prostitutes. We had, well, you name it, we had a lot of people that God was using. But if you was to hear their testimonies, and God is the God that specializes in cleaning up our lives and taking us just the way we are, you know? Learn to have compassion, you know? There's a great harvest out there. It's a great harvest. Matthew 9:36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When was the last time you had compassion on your bus route or on your kids on just Scranton alone. I know Pastor always, he has compassion for this area. He prays for it. He gave 40 years of his life to be out here. And you know what? He gave it his all. It's about time that we step up and lift that man's hands up and not just talk to him, but let's walk with him. You know, I love talking with Pastor on Saturdays. I call him. We talk to each other a few times on Saturdays. And he encourages me and I encourage him. And I feel like I could do anything for him. You know, this wasn't something that I wanted to do, but I did it because I know that it's something that he wanted me to do, you know? And I believe that that man walks with God and he knows what he's talking about, you know? But when was the last time you've been moved with compassion, you know? I think about the bus ministry, you know? The bus ministry can be discouraging at times if we're not careful. You know, a lot of times we work hard and we get on that bus and we expect to have big numbers and it doesn't always work out like that. You know, the bus ministry is not an easy ministry. You're like the first one here and the first one, you're the first one here and the last one to get out of here. You're the last one home. It's a long day. You come here on Saturdays, you go into all these homes and you have to deal with everything that's going on in each home. And it hurts, man, to see what these young people go through. They're hurting. They got broken lives. They got broken dreams. They have no hope. You know, there's kids that a lot of them are going to end up really messed up. The only hope that they have is Sunday school teachers, bus captains, preachers, people that are going to show love to them, some people that's going to show compassion. I remember growing up, and it was one man that made a difference in my life, and his name was Al Blake, and I'll never forget it. I remember that he told me that I was actually something, and that's the first time I ever heard that I was somebody. Before that, I used to hear that I'll never amount to anything, that I'll be dead by the time I'm 18. I started believing that. I live a life like I didn't care. I'm not going to live anyway. You know, I'm going to be dead. That's what they tell me. But Al Blake took the time to tell me that I was somebody. And I always remember that. And every time I meet somebody, I always encourage them that way. Don't ever think that you're nobody. God has a purpose for your life, right? The bus ministry can become discouraging if we're not careful, you know? We look at numbers. A lot of times we want to pack out our bus and we want to have 70 people and we end up with 25, you know? Hey, that's what God gave you, man. Love those 25. Pray for them. You know what? That's what God gave you. Just make sure you get to know those 25. Make sure that you visit them every week. Make sure that you go there and pray for their needs when there's needs that arises, you know? You know, who you have your eyes on or what will make a difference, all right? The reason why I say that is because I remember one Saturday on bus ministry having a real bad day and I was just so discouraged. I said, you know what, I just can't do this anymore, man. This is just not worth it. And we spend money. You know, bus ministry is not about just going, we spend money. We spend time, we try to do things for them. It's not a cheap ministry. When I came out, I remember when Pastor first asked me to take over the bus ministry, I didn't want to do it. I talked to my wife, I said, she goes, no, this is your ministry, he's asking you. I'm like, come on, you know? But I really didn't want to do it. Because I know, man, we did it for so many years. We did it for over 20 years in New York. My wife was on there for over 20 years. And we know the hardships and the money and the time and everything involved. But there was a need there, and I wanted to fill that need. You know, I didn't come up here just to sit on a pew. You know, I remember that day having a hard day, and I remember this man standing there watching me as I was walking these kids across to these projects, all right? And he was just looking at me, just leaning against this big pole, a lamppost, and he's looking at me, and when I was going back to the bus, he just shook his head and looked at me and he said, don't ever stop doing what you're doing. And I was discouraged. God just sent this man there to encourage me. And I said, yeah, why? He goes, that bus right there, bus captain, over 20 years ago, led me to Christ. And I'm serving God today because somebody cared. I said, I was a little kid. I moved out of the projects. I got away from God. I wasn't living for God for many years, but now God's using me. I'm a youth pastor, and God is using me in a great way. I looked at him, I said, can you do me a favor? Can you come on my bus? I want you to meet bus captain. And she was a bus captain for probably like 27 years now. But She knew the bus captain that he was talking about. I'm just saying, you know, have compassion. You know, when we go out there, we don't know what kind of impact we're gonna have in the lives that we touch. Just giving a tract. I remember downstairs, somebody came to this church just because someone handed them a tract. Let me tell you, you don't know how God's gonna work out there. Just be available. Be available to be a vessel that God can use, all right? And Jude, whatever, it says, and on some had compassion making a difference, all right? On some had compassion making a difference. There's a lot of potential in this. There's a lot of potential for the Lord right here in this room. There's a lot of potential, all right? God wants to use us. And it's up to us if we're willing to want to be used, all right? But he wants to use us. There's no doubt in my mind that God wants to use every person in this room. We all can make a difference and influence the many for the Lord. I believe that. I love that verse, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, a lot of people out there, the only Bible that they're gonna read is gonna be the Bible that they read when you come into their lives. When you walk by them, when you start talking to them. You know, that's the only Bible they're gonna get. And a lot of people are looking to want to get something that's gonna last. And this will last. But it's a choice. We can make a difference. We can influence many for the Lord, but it's our choice. We can forfeit that. You know, we don't have to do it. God, like Brother Steve said, God he'll rise somebody else up to do it. But let me tell you, it's a blessing to do it. And the reason why I say that, because I'm living that blessing now, you know? But the sad thing is that many of us will quit and never see the blessing that God has for us. We'll quit. A lot of us will walk out of it. We'll get bitter. Some pastor say something and, hey, it's from the word of God and we get all offended by it. I remember sitting somewhere in the front pew when my pastor was preaching about standards one day and I had an earring right in my ear and he's telling me, man shouldn't wear what pertain to women. You know, talking about earrings. And I'm right there and I'm looking at him and he's talking right to me. And I said, I ain't going back to that church. And he's talking right to me. And I left that church that day and I took off the earring. I said, I'll put it back later, but the Holy Spirit started dealing with me. And that earring represented the world to me. And I came out from the world. And I said, you know what? If I truly love the Lord, I said, this doesn't mean that much to me. And I took that earring off, I never put it back on. Not because, you know, the pastor said it, but because I know it was from the word of God. And I know that I wanted to obey what God said. I wanted to be a blessing. I wanted to be in use of God. I didn't want to allow myself to get bitter over stupid things. My pastor always used to tell me, say that we shouldn't wear our feelings on our shoulders because someone will knock them off, you know? And I remember that, man. And you know, a lot of us, I'm not going to be blessed, man, because we're going to quit on God, you know? I just want to say something. We don't build this ministry here. We don't build it. God built it, the ministry through us, right? God is going to use us to build this ministry. And if you're not here, you know why? Like I said, he'll use somebody else. We have a great pastor here that needs help. He's not going to reach Scranton alone. And let me tell you, I'm sure he's been everywhere, because everywhere I go, they know pastor. I show them a picture that I know him. The pastor's very popular out here. He's a man that's been around. But he's not gonna reach Scranton alone. Scranton is gonna be reached by us. Everyone getting together and praying hard and seeking God's face and getting involved with service and all that, you know? And Psalms 127:1, the Bible says, except the Lord built this house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, God wants to use us. And I don't know about you guys. I don't know if anything touched your heart today that I said, but I know that we're not going to be able to see anything great happening in here unless we actually get a hold of revival in our own lives, man. Pastor said the other day, we don't need a great speaker to come in here and speak. All right? I've been there, done that. I went to great sermons and I get all excited and 3 days later, it's done. You know what? My commitment, I'm not even with it anymore. It's just an emotional thing. We need to truly get our hearts right with God. And when we get our hearts right with God, I believe that God will do something big here. All right? My prayer and my encouragement to you guys is to just try to listen to that small, still voice that speaks to us every day. And when Pastor speaks, man, we need to back him up. You know, when he needs something, you know what, let's just do it. You know, I know it's scary to go out there and knock on doors. I know, I've been there. I remember the first time I had to pray with somebody. I was in Red Hook, New York. It was a bad area, and I remember having to pray. And I was scared stiff. But God helped me that day, and he helps me every day. And I just want to encourage you guys in the church today. I know you guys are the cream of the crop. You know, a lot of you guys come pretty much when the doors are open, and I believe that's important. I just want to encourage you guys to just get busy serving God, you know? The devil wants to get into your home and destroy it. He wants to destroy your kids, and I know Pastor don't want to see that. Pastor loves his kids so much, and we know it. We all know it. The parents in here know how much Pastor loves them, you know? Don't give up. Don't quit, you know? Let me just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just thank you for this time, and I thank you that you gave me this opportunity.